Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is Sonia from Sci-Fi and Squeam on the only LGBTIQ science fiction, horror, and pop culture show and genre on Joy 94.9. I'm here in the sunshine in Melbourne with none other than Dean Stockwell. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam, Dean Stockwell. Probably one of the legendary survivors, I would say, of what was a fantastic film culture that spans many, many decades, 60s, 70s. Quantum Leap, I think most people will recognise Dean as being in Quantum Leap. But for us on Sci-Fi and Squeam, we recognise Dean to be more than that, a star of Roger Corman cult classics. Yes, Dune and Blue Velvet.
Yes, pleasure to be here. We've got a beautiful day. I'm happy to be here. We're going to a convention tomorrow. Should be lots of fun. But I think a lot of people are going to be there, from what I understand. And that'll be great. And then from here, I'm going to Auckland to another one, same outfit.
We were saying that you haven't been here for about 40 years. So that's quite...
Yeah, it's been at least that since I was in Melbourne. I don't remember what I did here. I must have been here for some TV show or something. All I remember is I played Royal Melbourne Golf Club. But I don't remember the show I did. Oh, well.
For us on Sci-Fi and Squeam, of course, you've had such a varied and wide career up to recent times, Battlestar Galactica, where you played a Cylon, John Cavell, which is fantastic. But I'm looking back when you appeared in Roger Corman, The Dunwich Horror, the 1970, I believe it produced by him, directed by Daniel Haller. What do you recall about that H.P. Lovecraft remnant?
My brain trying to remember something about it. I think that was kind of a silly project. I didn't tell anyone that I felt that way, but I did. Dunwich Horror was a little silly. It's H.P. Lovecraft, and he's a legendary writer of that ilk. It's okay to have it on a summary.
David Lynch, you worked with him a couple of times, Dune in 1984. What do you remember about working on Dune?
As far as the project itself, I thought it was very well done. There was a split in the production. De Laurentiis' daughter produced it.
Yep.
And it was her first production, and she had kind of a... I don't know where she got the notion, but she did. She split the production into three separate entities. One was the actors and the built sets. The other was action stuff, and the third was special effects. And then she somehow miraculously expected them all to come together. And I don't think they did, so I thought the film, it was lacking in that. The part with the first team, with the actors and everything, was great. But the worms were stupid, the big giant worms. It just didn't make it. So I'm kind of sad about that.
Yeah. It was a beautiful looking film, though. I mean, as far as the way it turned out, and some of the special effects were pretty amazing. And you were, you were dastardly, you were evil.
But
you were conflicted.
Evil guy. Watch out for me, I'm telling you.
Do you like playing those sort of characters?
Sure, it's good. Interesting character, I'll do it.
It's been a highlight, do you think? I know that's over 100 films. Yeah. What ones do you feel that you think, those are good ones, I'm proud of them?
Yeah, there are two or three that I think are outstanding. Going way back, there was a film called Gentleman's Agreement, which won the Academy Award for Best Picture at the time, and it was a social problem study of anti-Semitism in the country. So it had import behind it. It had importance, message, as it were. So I feel that was quite important. Then The Boy with Green Hair.
Yes,
was another one. That was an anti-war film, and the kid's hair turned green to be a symbol it shouldn't be anymore. War. So I took that quite seriously at the time, even though I was like 12, and it mattered. It mattered to me. Oh, that's.
Do you need a straw or anything?
Huh?
Do you want a straw?
Oh,
no.
That's the last straw.
Yeah, so you were saying the war with the green hair.
Yeah, and then later on in my early maturity, perhaps the most important film I did was Long Day's Journey into Night. Long Day's Journey into Night was written by Eugene O'Neill, who is regarded as our finest playwright of the 20th century. And this was considered his masterpiece. And it's a three and a half hour movie,
yeah,
on one set with four actors.
I've seen that.
And they were Sir Ralph Richardson,
yeah,
Jason Robards Jr., and the great Catherine Hepburn,
yes,
and myself tagging along with
it. It's excruciating.
It's great writing and
so that's
an actor's dream. Yeah, and Sidney Lumet directed it beautifully and shot it from the play. There was never a screenplay written. Shot it from the play and did a fantastic job, I think. So that, I think that's the most important film I made is in terms of quality of art.
Catherine Hepburn is one of my favorite actresses of all time, I would say. And out of the directors you've worked with, what was the, I know it's hard to say best all the time, but what was that experience like, and which director would you say was what good to work with?
My directors?
Yes.
Well, let's start right where I left off, with Sidney Lumet.
Yeah.
I thought the job he did on Long Day's Journey was just fabulous. To get the best out of it, to get the best out of the performers and never interfere with it, it was just fabulous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I worked with so many directors, a lot of them are pretty good.
Now, Quantum Leap is what people are probably going to ask you, a lot of questions about that TV series. Were you surprised that it was so popular, like came out of nowhere?
I mean, I loved the idea of it, but I thought with a title like Quantum Leap, and the type of thing it was, I just was amazed that it took off, that it hit, was a hit. You know?
It was a hit.
And I enjoyed that 4.5 years thoroughly. It was 4.5 seasons.
Yeah.
5 years, yeah. It's great.
It's a lot of work there.
And Scott is a dear. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to work with.
Yeah. Now, do you keep in touch with Scott Bakula? Do you keep... And where you live now, do you still have connections with some of the people you've worked with over the years?
I live out in a remote area of northern New Mexico.
Ah, hence the turquoise.
I
pictured you with horses, perhaps.
No.
Anything like that. All right. Because we do science fiction and horror for Sci-Fi and Scream, do you have a favorite? Is there someone that would inspire you in the science fiction genre or anything in horror as well?
What, a writer or director?
Yeah.
Or
what?
No, not really. No. Half the time I don't remember who's written something. You know, it's just commercial fare.
When you've done that much work for so long. Now, looking at Blue Velvet, that wonderful scene when you do the Roy Orbison, part of the Roy Orbison song in Dreams, were you happy to do something like that?
Well, very. I tell you what happened, exactly. David Lynch communicated with me to ask me my opinion if Dennis Hopper could work as a professional, because he was, he was out of it at those years, and I told him, forget what you hear about him. When he comes to work, he's a professional. Then the second thing he said, take a look at this other role and see what you think you could do with it. So I looked at the role, I read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I pictured Dennis and what he would do and how he would do it, how he would approach it, how he would bring it off. And it was one of the most extreme, mad characters I'd ever read. So to come to this Ben, who Dennis' character looks up to and calls Suave, I determined, and I think I was right, that Ben had to be even a little farther out than Dennis's character in order for Dennis to look up to him. So I contrived the whole role. I did the wardrobe, I did the makeup, I did everything, even down to an earring. I had an ace bandage on my hand. All of that was planned out. Then the contrast of that plus singing in Dreams and, well, lip syncing made it, the character was far enough out so that it's a classic scene in movies. Yeah.
I was watching it on YouTube last night and put it on Facebook. Got amazing. People were singing along on Facebook through messages,
really?
Doing the song with your actions.
That's the great beauty
of it, and the way it looks, and Isabella Rossellini walking in like that. What was it like working with, you know, someone like that?
Oh, all great.
All good. Yeah.
Well, everything. What a lemon seed. Everything was copacetic. I just worked 2 days. That scene was done in one day, actually, in this little expo.
It's amazing. It's an amazing scene. Well, Dean, I'm going to let you... Let's sit and have the Bloody Mary.
This.
Oh, sure. Go for it.
I didn't mean to take that.
No. Not like one of those magic tricks, but... And just before I do, finish this part of the interview, I wonder if you could just do a... Just do a tag, an ID tag, if that would be okay?
Sure.
Just with your, obviously, this is Dean, obviously, Dean Stockwell.
Squeam?
Yeah.
Squeam, as in queasy and screaming. And squeam.
Squeam.
That's it.
Okay. This is Dean Stockwell on Sci-Fi and Squeam at our Joy 749, right?
94.9.
Oh, on Joy 94.9. There, we got it. Yeah.
Hey! Yeah, you got it. Thank you very much, Dean. Beautiful.
How I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take.
Real life is scarier than anything we can dream of, and we dream such frightening things. Sci-Fi and Squeam. Be afraid. Be very afraid. On Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.